Boys, if you're a Wallabies fan, you have every reason to be excited for this entire year, yes, but for this very moment as well, because joining us today is a man that wherever he's gone across the world has bred success, whether it was with the Wallabies when he took them to a World Cup final in 03, then he's part of the South Africa setup in 07. They win it there. He coaches Japan, a relative no-name team that comes out and beats the Springboks at the World Cup in 2015, and we know the success he had back with England. Returning to the Wallaby setup and joining us today on Triple M's Rush Hour, the wonderful Eddie Jones. How are you, legend?
Hey, guys. All right?
Very well, Eddie. Just tell us what it's like to be back into the hot seat for the Wallabies after such an incredible tenure at England.
Yeah, well, just got to create better habits. I think, yeah, the game of rugby, it's a bloody difficult game to play at the moment. We've got a referee that wants to be correct. We've got a failed referee in the grandstand telling the referee on the field what to do. So they're looking for everything that's wrong in the game. And you just got to understand where the referee's coming from, make sure we play to his standard. And the big thing will be the environment, training environment we create will be about creating really good habits.
Mate, one thing I've noticed about you, Eddie, is you don't back players unless they can add something to the team and obviously add something to what you're doing. But even with your coaching staff, Anthony Seibold, obviously, you know, we both know him quite well. He got an opportunity at Manly, but you were very impressed with some of the stuff he was doing, and I think he learned a lot from you.
Yeah, and no, Seib's a good man, and I think he's got his hands full at Manly, mate, but he'll do a great job there. And he did a really fantastic job for us, a good young man.
Eddie, I want to ask you about the Wallabies leadership. Michael Hooper took personal leave for a period there, and James Slipper, captain with aplomb for a period, but understand that you're still to make that decision on who will lead the Wallabies.
Yeah, I need to walk the floor a bit, you know, talk to the players, but certainly we've got two strong candidates in Michael Hooper and James Slipper, so I look forward to make a final decision. But we don't have to do that for a while because we're not in the camp again until April.
Mate, Eddie, one thing I noticed too is All Blacks, you know, they've always been very dominant, but you know, obviously England have played well at this. But France and Ireland, they're setting a standard. So in a World Cup year, it's anyone's opportunity to win the World Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like a horse race at Royal Randwick. You know, there's about six horses together just going over the rise, and whoever kicks now, you know, there's 9 months to go. Whoever kicks hard will be the one that takes the money. France, and you got to remember, France and Ireland have an advantage at the moment. The Ireland team basically plays together as Leinster. 80% of their team play together each week. They train together. And France have had the same side since 2019. Very few injuries. Their whole club system's backing the national team. So they've got a bit of an advantage at the moment, but you know, there's plenty of time to catch up.
Eddie, we were rolling through some of your accolades earlier, as we mentioned, the 03 World Cup, what you did with the Japanese side to beat South Africa. Was your most difficult task having to coach Wendell Saylor? Because, I mean, we've heard some stories, but I can't imagine it was easy.
Yeah, we had to teach him to catch that high ball, mate. That was pretty difficult.
Sorry I was doing those tries for you, Eddie, mate. You gave me a job to do.
Yeah, that big, powerful left foot step. I don't think Wendell ever got the raps. If you look back in the history of particularly that 2003 World Cup, Wendell was colossal in that semi-final against New Zealand. You know, that big left foot step. They were calling that big left foot step. Here it comes again, but they couldn't get a hand on it.
And speaking of those crossroad sort of transfers, there's Takiri and Rogers in that team, but there's been a lot of talk about you've got having eyes on some of the NRL players. How do you sort of see that, and particularly some of those youngsters that played rugby as juniors?
No, I think in the short term, it's all about retaining the talent we've got. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the medium term, yeah, we want to get blokes who've played rugby. You know, and I'm sure a few of them are looking at what's coming ahead for Australia and thinking, well, this might be a good opportunity for us. And we know there's a number of good players out there. And I think you've always got to look to see how you can bolster the playing ranks. You know, the game's always about how many quality players you have and if we can pinch one or two good players. And we want to stir the Australian sporting landscape up a little bit. You know, the league and AFL being dominant. you know, and rugby's got a place there.
Eddie, I couldn't help but laugh when I read an article about you talking about Shane Warne. He was iconic, wasn't he? And he just had this thing about him, mate. Certain people have this magic about him. So Warne is a big loss, wasn't it, for Australia?
Yeah, huge, mate. And again, you know, he was the sort of guy that when he was at his best, you saw every kid, they were all trying to bowl leg spin. And it wasn't just Australian kids, you know, it was kids around the world. And that's, you know, that's part of the responsibility of a sport is to create those sort of players that make kids want to play the game.
Eddie, I want to ask you about the number 10. Obviously, Quade Cooper is out with an Achilles injury, so there's you know, a spot there for someone to come in and lead this team with, you know, that real decision making, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's if you look at it, there's probably three groups of players all combining for it. You know, you've got your Quade, you've got your Foley, who are experienced guys, been around the block, but still have a lot to give. And no one knows whether Quade can come back from his injury and be even better than he was. And Foley, you know, did well in his short stint last season, is playing well in Japan at the moment. Then you've got the guys who are currently in the system, like your James O'Connor and your Leocio from the Brumbies, and then you got a couple of young guys coming through, Donaldson and Egbert, and certainly Donaldson did well on the end of the season too. So we're going to have to make a decision pretty quickly, because in those positions, you know, the spine of the team cohesion is important. So the Super Rugby and how they come into camp or make have a pretty big bearing on who we go with, and then we've got to back them, mate.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, a little bit of toing and froing between you and Peter Vlantis this week. Any plans to sit down for a beer sometime soon? Or?
Yeah, no, I'm keen to have a bet in the TAB, mate. I used to live in the TAB, so hopefully he'll give me a special account.
Eddie, I want to ask you, over all the years, what is that secret to success in terms of bringing a team together? Is it all around culture? Is it all around the people involved? What makes a good side and come together when in a World Cup year?
I was speaking to a bloke the other day, I'm sure he won't mind me sharing the story, who wrote Legacy, the All Black. And, yeah, the big difference between the All Blacks winning at 90% and the All Blacks winning at 80% was a guy called Richie McCaw, who was always at it. It wouldn't matter whether he was playing for his club team, Crusaders, every time for New Zealand. He's one of those blokes who was at it. He was at the players to be at their best, train hard, play hard. And then around him, he had a good group of leaders that brought the balance, empathetic guys, socially aware guys, you know, fun guys, like guy like Wendell. So you need that sort of group of players at the top of the tree. And that's the big job for us to develop that. I'm sure there's the nucleus of it there. And we've seen that in various performances. So we've just got to hone that. And then the team will start to hum. People love coming to training. People want to play. And when you've got that enthusiasm, you don't know where you can go.
Well, the Wallabies are in good hands, aren't they, Del?
Oh, they're in good hands. And that's what Eddie, he used to get different people from different codes in. Like we've had James Hurd and had Jason Akamanis one time. And I think it wasn't Eddie's fault.
But, that was a miss.
That was a miss, but it was always good. So they always brought something.
Akamanis and Del in one room are two of the greatest egos in Australian sport together. Eddie Jones, honestly, we're elated when we saw the news Monday. We're elated to speak to you today, and we're elated to watch what unfolds the rest of this year. Congrats being back at the helm of the Wallabies, mate. It's been an honour to speak to you on the Rush Hour, the Savvy.
All right, thanks very much.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.